There was a cartoon that I used to watch in college, which I don't recommend. Well, the particular cartoon, not watching cartoons in general. But in this cartoon, there was one episode where this Pope character, who is sort of this generic Italian Pope, is walking around his room, and it's early in the morning, the cardinal is with him, and he drops his clothes on the floor, and the cardinal says, "Pope, the floor is not a hamper." And then the Pope says, "Fine, I infallibly declare that the floor is a hamper." And then the cardinal says, "Huh, okay." Well, of course, we know that's not the way papal infallibility works. The Pope can't just declare things willy-nilly, and because he's the Pope, it's true. Papal infallibility works in a particular way, that the Pope, when in concert with the Magisterium of the Church, the College of Bishops, and without contradicting anything that has been taught in the Church, declares a matter of faith or morals to be a particular way. Faith, which is what we believe, and morals, which is the way that we live out that faith. When he does that, then we truly believe that the Pope, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is able to declare something infallibly because of today's gospel. And when we look at today's gospel, we see that Jesus asked them, the apostles, "Who do they say the Son of Man is?" And they have all these answers: John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, who are all dead. I mean, Elijah and Jeremiah and the prophets have been dead for centuries. And John the Baptist, people had just seen him killed recently. But so amazing was what Jesus was doing that they thought this had to be something incredible. But it's actually more incredible than they actually knew. And Peter was the one that was able to proclaim that truth, because there was all this confusion, and Peter brought the unity, as the Pope still does today. And it wasn't his own words. And Jesus says that. Jesus says, after Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God," that these are not his own words. That the Father has revealed it to St. Peter. In other words, he is being inspired by the Holy Spirit as the Pope, even now, bringing this unity to a scattered flock. Now, that doesn't mean that St. Peter is perfect. We know that. Because right after this happens, he's going to try to tempt Jesus against going to Jerusalem and dying for our sins. And then, of course, he'll deny Jesus three times in the pivotal moment. So this idea of infallibility doesn't mean that the person holding the keys of the kingdom is perfect. In fact, as we all know, we've had some very imperfect popes. Some people who were real scoundrels. Most of our popes through history have been good men trying. Some have been great saints, and some have been tremendous sinners. But in spite of that, whoever is in that office has continued to pass down without contradiction the faith of Christ. This was his guarantee to keep the unity of the Catholic Church. Without that unity, we break apart. That's why there are 60,000 Protestant denominations, because they don't have the element of unity that the Catholic Church possesses, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the keys of the kingdom given to St. Peter. And we have to bring the magisterium into our own lives. It's not simply some administrative tool out there. When we wonder who Christ really is, we have to turn to the Church. The Church has been entrusted with the tradition of telling us and guiding us in our relationship with Christ. And I hear it all the time when people have a misconception of who Christ is. Some people will talk about Jesus as this nice guy that no matter what we do, he's certainly going to let us into heaven, even if we don't repent of our sins. even if we half-heartedly serve Him. But we know, without a doubt, that that's not the case, from Christ's own words and from the teaching of the church. We also have people who believe that Jesus is this kind of mean person, that's a divine accountant of sorts, who's trying to trip us up and keeping track of all of our faults. And they're never really forgiven of their sins. We know, too, that that's not Jesus. That as soon as we come to repentance and go to the sacrament of reconciliation, He forgives whatever we've done. He's not somebody who's trying to trip us up or keep us out of the kingdom. He wants us to be with Him. But these are the little heresies that we have in our own minds. I've had people come to me and say, "Father, how can I really believe that I've been forgiven of my sins? I just never feel that forgiveness." And I always tell them, well, look at what Jesus did in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the Gospels. He was always forgiving people who turned back to Him. And look at what the church has declared for 2,000 years. It's declared His mercy. So Peter is this imperfect pope. And all the popes have been imperfect. And so are we. But if we understand the fact that the church is two things at the same time, it is the unspoiled bride of Christ, given this unchanging tradition of the faith passed down to each one of us, and at the same time is a human institution full of sin and problems and bureaucracy, and that we're the same way. We're on the one hand sons and daughters of God, but that dignity unspoiled from baptism. And at the same time, we're imperfect, sinful people. Well, that's what the church is, because in a real way, we are the church. From the Pope all the way down. And Christ knew that. And He gives it to us as a way to understand who He is, to grow in relationship with Him, and to together struggle to do the best we can and always be trying to become those saints that we're called to be. A saint like St. Peter, who, on the one hand, had that gift of infallibility to proclaim in front of the apostles who Jesus is, and at the same time would deny Him 3 times, but through repentance of his heart, joined Christ forever in the kingdom of heaven.